Okay, our scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 1, verse 67 to 79. Zechariah's prophecy. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him in all our days.
A new child will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, Christ Church. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. If you have your Bibles, you can open them. We'll be reading our text today is Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. And that should be printed up behind me to follow along the word of the Lord for us today from the prophet Isaiah. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a..." "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood, will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from his time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, you give thanks. We give thanks to you because you are the one who is the Word, and you have come to dwell among us and to speak your truth into our hearts, to transform us, to change us, to be more in your likeness. So we thank you for this, and we pray that you would dwell among us this morning as we worship and we search the scriptures to see these things that are true, to hear your message of gospel transformation through the hope of Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today it's a little chilly outside. Kind of our first cold snap of the year. And if y'all are visiting from actual cold places, you kind of laugh because it's kind of a joke what we consider to be cold around here. But this is a little cold. It's a little darker than normal. But it's kind of exciting, right? Because today we get our first cold snap and we're singing Christmas songs. And this week you got time to spend with family, to feast and enjoy, to give thanks. So even though it's darker than we're used to in South Texas, there's something to anticipate, to look forward to. It's not always like this. There's that line from C.S. Lewis in the Chronicles of Narnia, when the children arrive into Narnia and the land is covered with snow and it's dark, and because of the oppression and the reign of the White Witch, it's always winter and never Christmas. The days are always getting short and the nights getting longer, but there's nothing to look forward to. It's cold, but there's no fire with a family gathered around it in joy and fellowship and love. The wind blows cold and it's dark, and the kids, you kids are in here with us today instead of being in Kids Quest. Kids are used to this time of year anticipation of Christmas presents and time spent playing with friends and siblings and cousins as families are gathered together. Imagine the time where it's too cold to play outside, but there's no presents to play with and no fun and no joy to be had in the family. Always winter and never Christmas. The prophet Isaiah this morning teaches us about hope because he takes us into a place where it really was for a time kind of that always winter and never Christmas, when the people of Israel were under oppression and they were without hope. So what the prophet Isaiah foretells is that the Messiah will come as a son, and he will take us out of darkness into light. Out of darkness into light, that he will turn things around by his presence and power for us to have peace in the light of the reign of the Son. And we'll see this today through three aspects of his message. First of all, the darkness. Second of all, the dawn. And you'll forgive me a little bit. I like this, but it doesn't really fit. It's just a D. The death of death in the reign of the Messiah. So let's look at the text that the prophet Isaiah gives us this morning. He starts off in verse 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has a light shone. And in Hebrew poetry, typically what they will do is they will juxtapose two very similar ideas and use them as a way of kind of shining light and illuminating aspects from a different angle that you see before on this. First of all, the people who walked in darkness. And when the prophet Isaiah is talking about the people of Israel walking in darkness, that idea of walking for them was kind of a way of life. They walked on paths that were well-worn and well-trodden. The idea of walking talks about the idea of a well-worn path, a habit, something that's ingrained in them. The people of darkness, or the people of Israel, could be called a people of darkness because it was their habit to walk in darkness. They got used to it, to walk in darkness. And they didn't like being in darkness any more than the rest of us like being in darkness. They just got so far deep into it that they didn't know how to get out under their own power. Now, some of you may know that we have cattle at our place just east of town here. And I recall a time about 15 years ago, we had just kind of started raising cattle, and there was a young Hereford heifer that was pregnant. And my wife noticed she wasn't with the rest of the herd. And we knew she was pregnant, so we went out into the woods to see if we could find her. And sure enough, there she was, laying down under a tree, groaning and struggling to try to deliver. And I got in, and I'll tell you, it's not like we're amazing, you know, pseudo-veterinarians or anything like that. It's just that, like, well, she's struggling, you got to try to help. That's the only time I've ever tried to help, and the only time we've ever lost a calf. It was a pretty bad situation. And what I noticed was that that heifer was squeezing and pushing as hard as she could. She was groaning and breathing with everything that she had. But the position of the calf with its leg made it so that every squeeze and every push only made it worse. Because the position of the leg was such that you couldn't squeeze your way out of that problem. And we tried to position, reposition, and move. We couldn't get in there to do it. But it struck me that there are times in our lives, walking in darkness, where the more we squeeze and the more we push and the more we try under our own power, the worse it gets. That was the situation for the people of Israel. And the people of Israel were also dwelling in a land of deep darkness. They had sort of made darkness their home. They decorated, got themselves comfortable in deep darkness. I thought of this wives' tale that I think we've all heard about frogs. You know how supposedly you can take a frog and put it into lukewarm water and put it on the stove. And you turn it on, and the fire begins to come, and the frog just sort of sits back and relaxes, and the frog never notices that it's getting hot and that it's boiling, and the frog dies. And I think about that, and I think, frog, you and me, we're alike. I'm just like that. The people of Israel, we're just like that. You start us off in lukewarm water, and you start to heat it up, and we just don't notice, and next thing you know, we're boiling, and the frog's like, time out! I don't know if you kids know this, but that's not true. The frog has enough sense to jump out of the water when it starts to get hot. But we don't. We don't have the sense, when we are dwelling in darkness, to jump out of the water on our own power. The frog has more sense than we do. So the people of Israel are kind of like us. We walk in darkness. We get used to it. We push and we pull and we strain, and we think we have to be making progress. But on our own power, we can't escape. And we dwell in darkness. We get used to it. And we think, well, this is just how it is. But it doesn't have to be that way. So the prophet Isaiah juxtaposes the darkness with the light. He says, those who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Well, how did that happen? He says, those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has a light shone. And I like how Matthew puts it, Matthew 4:16, when he's relaying this prophecy, he kind of spins it a little bit and says, on them has a light dawned. Now, you've been out early in the morning, probably not this week. You probably didn't think, you know, I'm on vacation. I've got a few days. I'm going to go out into the sunlight early in the morning. But you've seen the dawn, and what do you have to do with the dawn shining on you? Nothing. You receive what the sun has worked to bring you. Those rays of sunshine that warm your skin and brighten your eyes. You receive that. You are passive, where God, acting through creation, is active in your life. This is the way of the sun in Isaiah 9. The light shines on us. Well, how does he do that? We'll skip ahead to verse 6. The dawn comes to us through a child. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. This is the vehicle, the medium of the message of the Son. So God takes the initiative, sends the Son to us, and shines his light. The message of the prophet Isaiah is that you, fallen humanity, are too comfortable to get out of this on your own and powerless to get out of it on your own. So I will send another man, a son, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's walk through that a little bit. The prophet Isaiah is speaking to the people of Israel who are under great oppression. First Assyria and then Babylon. That oppression is heavy. But Isaiah says the government, the rule, and the reign now belong to the Son who is born. And he will bring peace. He will be a wonderful counselor. And this word wonderful that's in there, like, hasn't it become one of those just throwaway words that we use that just has kind of a fluff, empty meaning? Like, we'll use the word wonderful for just about anything. But what the prophet Isaiah is talking about is the kind of jaw-dropping, awestruck wonder that will come with the counsel of Jesus. And we have counselors here today. From time to time, I've been called counselor. I've never once seen anybody drop their jaw in wonder at any advice I've given. But that's who Jesus is. He is the wonderful, jaw-dropping counselor that you can go to for wisdom. He is the mighty God. He's come down and he is one with the Father to live and to reign, to renew us in our humanity. He is the everlasting Father, in that he rules and reigns with fatherly care over all of his creation. And he is the Prince of Peace. He will bring peace in the end to us. And I like what it says here. So we'll transition to this death of death. There's a lot of things we could say about this middle section here, you know, focusing on verses 3 through 5. But I'm going to focus on a few things. Verse 3, the increase of his kingdom and bringing joy. Verse 3, you have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. So the prophet Isaiah brings in this theme of the kingdom being expanded, multiplying, great joy. And this is something that we see throughout the scripture. In the New Testament, we see the kingdom of God being prepared, compared as a mustard seed that's tiny. This mustard seed grows. And next thing you know, it's a sapling. And next thing you know, it's a bush and a small tree. And eventually, the birds are making nest in its broad branches. It grows and overwhelms and becomes a resting place. The prophet Daniel says that this kingdom that Isaiah says brings joy and expands, this kingdom starts as a little rock and it grows up and it just crushes as it comes up and supplants the other kingdoms of this world. And of course that brings joy, because who is the king? It's Jesus. And what is his goal? His goal is for you to have joy and fellowship with him. And a lot of you this morning have seen some hard times, some very recently. Some of you are walking through them right now. So I like where he's going with this in verse 4. He's breaking the instruments of your suffering. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. In other words, we've seen you do this before in triumph and in victory. And then in verse 5, you can see that his goal and his end is to kill death. In verse 5, for every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. So these are instruments of death. It's the boot of the warrior he wears on his feet to be strong and to stride through the battlefield. And as he strides through the battlefield, causing mayhem and slaughter, his boots become soiled with blood. They're a tool of oppression and death. And garments rolled in blood are the results of the reign of sin and death in our lives. And all of this will be gathered up, piled up, and burned in a fire. It'll be gone. Every suffering will be taken and smashed up and burned. This is the work of the Son, who comes to reign as the Prince of Peace. So even though we are the kind, the Son comes and he makes us a house with many mansions. Even though we are a people who get comfortable in the suffering around us, the Son comes to shine a light and end suffering and bring healing to the nations. And this is an intrusion into our lives. We don't seek it out. We receive it as a gift, just as the light of the dawn shines on you when you walk outside. This is the hope that Isaiah foretells in this chapter. For a people that had walked in darkness and given up. A people who had dwelled in darkness and given up. They had reached the end of their rope. They had no idea how or if they would ever come out the other side. We talked about this in the beginning. To be always winter Christmas. It's sort of easy to think about it in the sense of, well, what if we went through this and we missed Christmas? Now, that would be sad, and it would be heartache, and you would miss your family gathered around, the kids playing with their presents. You would miss it, but then you would expect that, well, spring will come. But in the lives of the people of Israel, they missed that moment. It passed them by, and year after year after year, spring never came, neither Christmas. And it just stayed cold, and it stayed dark, and it stayed windy. The prophet Isaiah steps in and says, no, you can have hope. Although this has passed for many years, a light will dawn and a light will shine. Whatever you're going through, you can bear it if you have the hope of Christ in your heart. Without hope, how do you wake again the next day and face what comes? But with hope, you can see through to the other side. The prophet Isaiah will later say of this Messiah, how he comes into the world and he is bruised and beaten for our transgressions. And the chastisement that's on him brings us peace. And he's killed. But what does he have? He has hope. He sees his offspring. He prolongs his days, the prophet Isaiah says. He sees his offspring. He prolongs his days. He has hope. He knows that he will be victorious, and he shares that hope and that victory with us. There is a writer, Viktor Frankl, who was a survivor in Auschwitz. And he tells a story of losing hope. He says, one of my friends in the camp had a dream that the war would end on March 30th. And he was just convinced that the dream was a revelation. But as the date drew near, it came from the news reports that the war was not ending. On March 29th, he began running a temperature. On March 30th, he lost consciousness. On March 31st, he was dead. His loss of hope had lowered his body's resistance to all the diseases in the camp. He concludes, pain is only bearable if we know it will end, not if we deny it exists. Brothers and sisters, you have heard the words of the prophet Isaiah. This pain of this life will end. And the Son who brings light and life to do this has come. He will bring it to completion in your life and in mine. Even though our bent is to walk in darkness and dwell in darkness, he will shine the light that will give us life as we trust in his power and his purpose and his word. How do we know? How do we know? The prophet Isaiah closes this section by telling us, the zeal of the Lord will do this. The zeal of the Lord will do this. He's not only going to do it, But he's jazzed about it. He's excited. He delights to bring you deliverance. So let's trust him and praise him together this morning in full hope and assurance of what he has for us. Let's pray. Father, we give thanks for who you are. You are that sun who brings light into our darkness. You are the one who does not always chide, but snatches us up out of our dwelling place of darkness, our walking in darkness, sets us on new path and a new dwelling place. We pray that as we praise you this morning and come to fellowship with you at the table, that you would draw us near to you, that we would know your peace, that we would know your counsel, and we would know you as our mighty God. In Jesus' name, amen.
At this time in our service, we have the opportunity to confess together as a church that even though Christmas is already